Father, I
this
thank you right
section
now, Father,
is on
Lord,
operating in the courts of heaven.
Father, you put in both of their lives. And guys, this
again,
is
I'm the kind of person that likes to put things up front.
God
I probably, I'm always told, well, you shouldn't say that right up front, but I'm saying this right up front.
A series of events
there are things in this book
that, has caused
that I do not understand.
Meld together again.
There are things
and
in this book
melding,
that I do not agree with. There are things in this book that I might agree with next month that I don't agree with right now. Okay? So, I've told you guys this
before.
This is a journey.
Told me that you would retire.
There are things that I do now that 25 years ago I didn't do.
And I know that
there are things that I don't do now that 2 months ago I did do.
New dots for you
and so I'm just saying there is a lot to learn in prayer.
That I'm opening.
I do know these things, and these are the things that I've said over and over at these different trainings. Every prayer counts.
And it's going to be a flow like never before.
I don't care
an anointing that
where you learned
you
it.
About, and
I don't care how you do it.
That he's been
every prayer counts.
In guys in new levels. And there's
never let any type of
but
prayer
together,
become witchcraft.
Be like a multiplication
don't get so into formulas
start
that you're now trying to manipulate the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
And the third thing I always say is pray in tongues until you know what to pray in English. Those are my three rules that I still stick by.
This
book, and I mentioned this before, for Heartland Apostolic Prayer Network, which is one of the coverings, partnering that Firestorm has, uses this book to train us on how we should do our prayer assignments. The author of this book believes that this is how all of our prayer should be. I'm still trying to figure out exactly where that fits because when he was at Albany, he said some things different than what he said in this book.
It's like
and so I think when he wrote this book, he believed one thing, and now he's kind of going, maybe I was a little bit too. Because, you know,
I won't.
He starts out that there's never prayer should never be in the battlefield. Well, then when he was in Albany, he was talking about when we go on the battlefield.
But God is going to equip you to do it.
So, obviously, there's some things that he's changed. I go on the battlefield. What I will say is what I'm going to be, the principles that I am going to be sharing with you from this book, I feel are important for all of us at all times. The very first thing that I believe, and many of you have seen me do this many times, is that you don't go before the Lord without checking your heart. You make sure that you have forgiven everyone you need to forgive and you repent. So I'm going to be reading a couple things out of his book. Prayer and warfare should not be a shot in the dark. In Revelations 19:11, we saw how Jesus himself approaches this. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and righteousness he judges, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. John the Apostle said, if we ask anything according to his will, then we have the petition that we are asking of him. So one of the things in the past, I've always prayed in tongues until I knew what to pray in English. What he suggests is repent for any of your sins. Repent for your ancestors' sins. Any of you that are familiar with restoring the foundations, a lot that we're taught in there fits right into here. you need to make sure that you are clean from any of the iniquities, not the sins, but the iniquities of your forefathers. And so there's way more teaching than what I can do today, but there's scriptures that say it goes to the fourth and fifth. So when the enemy, we don't want to have anything that the enemy can use against us in the courts of heaven. So when we go into the courts of heaven, we don't want the devil to say, oh, in my case, her grandfather was used in prostitution. I have the right to bring sexual iniquity on this woman. If I have repented for the sins of my forefathers and broken off the curses from them, and what he calls it is a cleansing of your bloodline, what we call it in restoring the foundations is making sure that we have broken off the sins of our fathers and the resulting curses. It is so important that we don't have anything that the devil can say, oh, right here, there's something. And so when we go into the courts of heaven, we've repented for our sins, we've repented for the sins of our forefathers and broken off the iniquity off of ourselves. If some of this that I'm saying is really unfamiliar to you, we have Restoring the Foundation. Just one second, there's two of you that have questions. We have teaching in Restoring the Foundations to help you out. There's also, you can read this book yourself and figure some things out. But, Cricket, what was your question?
Would iniquity be like demonic influence or demonic pressure?
Yes. That's what iniquity is. It's the demonic pressure against you to sin. But it's also, iniquity is also what the enemy can use in court. We need, in the courts of heaven. So we need to learn, yes, he has a legal right to speak against us. We must learn to only make war based on judgments, decisions, and verdicts that are received out of the courts of heaven. We must learn how to get those verdicts and judgments in place so answers can come to our prayers and the kingdom cause of Christ can land on earth.
Can you read that over, please?
Yes. We must learn to only make war based on judgments, decisions, and verdicts that are received out of the courts of heaven. And yes, and so here there's two ways to do that. For our prayer assignments, we know that we're going to go out. I'll give you the example of American Lake. The Lord showed one of my leaders, that we needed to go pray a circle around American Lake because the Native Americans wouldn't go near that lake because they believed Leviathan lived in that lake. So because they believed that, Leviathan had authority to live in that lake. So we had an assignment to go out. Dutch Sheets had asked us to go out and come against Leviathan around our area. American Lake falls into the area that Mary Moline and I are co-leaders for. And so we went out, but before we went out, we went into the courts of heaven. We repented for our own sin. We repented for the sins of the whites against the Indians in that whole area. We repented for the sins of the Native Americans. And then we began to ask the Lord in prayer, what do you want us to declare? So before we ever went out, we were already doing the groundwork to bring it into the courts of heaven so that the Lord would tell us what it was he wanted done. And he told us he wanted us to break off the poverty and the depression and Leviathan. And so, and he wanted us to do it by worship. He wanted us to put on worship tapes and sing as we drove that whole area all the way around. And there were points that we went, we're going to have to do this again. Now, some of our prayer assignments, we win. And we can tell it has been settled in the courts of heaven. But some of them, it was like, there's more. We need to do this again. We need to go and ask the Lord again. What is the next step? Because we knew we hadn't completely broken that. So, are you understanding the process that I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay, Penny?
So getting back to the bloodline.
Yes.
Where does in-laws fit in that? And your spouse's
bloodline. Kathy, can you or Robin comment on that?
When you get married, you become one with your spouse. Right. And so they are dealt with similarly, just like with stepchildren or people that are adopted.
Adopted children,
same
yeah.
Thing. We don't always know about the adopted parents, so we just assume that they are yours. If you do know about the adopted, then you do the same thing. If you don't, then you are in the stead of, you are the parent. Just like a lot of times the Lord will call me forward and say, do you have any children? Well, I don't have blood children. But the Lord says, you do have children, so they are your children. So he recognizes family different than we might in our own mind. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that in-laws are family, and you see them as that.
Yeah.
At least that's what I believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. So many times the answer...
Can I say one
oh, yes.
Thing? Especially, I think, legally, when you take on that name, because I had stepfathers, you know, I had the name of the person who wasn't even my biological father. I had a biological father, or the stepdad one, two, and three to deal with because of the name factor, and that my mother married into that name as well.
Well, and you guys, the thing that, when I read this book, I came back to the same thing I say all the time. Everybody needs to go through Restoring the Foundations ministry. I don't care who you are, you need to go through Restoring the Foundations. Now, what he does is he has several friends that are seer prophets. And they pray for him until they see things in his bloodline. Well, that's good, but we don't all have that. But you know what we do have? We have a process that God gave that works. The process, Restoring the Foundations, works.
Yeah.
It is papers. I'm sorry, it is. But we don't use them as witchcraft. We use them as the Holy Ghost. And so, like, we know that we need to get our bloodlines cleansed. The easiest way that I know to do that is through Restoring the Foundations. And you can talk to Kathy, you can talk to Robin, you can talk to Mike and Demetrius. There's a lot of people in here, Penny, that do Restoring the Foundations ministry. And we'll help you get through that. So what he's saying is, before you enter into the courts of heaven, you need to make sure there's nothing that the enemy can grab hold of. Because obviously there was something that he could grab hold of with Job. And I'm not going to go into all the scriptures, but Job came into the courts and said, hey, there is something here. And then the Lord gave Job over to the enemy because there was something. And a lot of people don't want to look at that part of it. But there was something there that the enemy said, hey, have you looked at your son Job when they were in the courts of heaven? So I belabored that point. I am so sorry. It's very important that we cleanse our bloodline. So I know I'm repeating myself over and over. Repent. for any sin.
Yes.
I mean, the other day at our prayer meeting, we had somebody say when we started to go into the courts of heaven, she goes, I can't. I have unforgiveness in my heart. And we ended up praying with her because she knew that she was not willing to forgive somebody, and she knew she didn't dare go in. So, when we have done the things that we need to do to go into the courts of heaven, then we can get a verdict. And oftentimes, the battle is taken care of right from the start. Especially when it comes to deliverance, you don't have to battle to get the demons off your back. They just have to go because you've closed all the legal doors. So you want to make sure that before you go into the courts of heaven, you repent by confessing for your sins, your ancestors' sins, and then when you're going into the courts of heaven for someone else. Melinda was talking about when the Lord puts somebody on your heart. There's times that our children need us to go into the courts of heaven on their behalf. When we do that, we need to repent for them. And when we repent for them, because they are not able to repent for themselves yet, we can go into the courts and get a verdict based on that. The second thing we need to do is resist the devil by rebuking and renouncing, and then when we have entered the courts, we make decrees because the judge has rendered a verdict. And as you noticed when we were praying in the spirit, a lot of this went on in the spirit. We did this in the spirit. We were repenting, we were rebuking, resisting, and then there were declarations to be made. And that's why I've said over and over, pray in the spirit until you know what to pray in English. So I have really condensed what this book says. Really condensed. He talks in here about the books of heaven, which I got the message too late to Gail, but if any of you are interested in her teaching on the books of heaven, it's really good. There are so many verses, I just can't believe that none of us ever saw it before. I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was when we were over at New Community Church on Thursday nights. Gail one time wrote me this note. We were in intercession about something, and she wrote me a note, and she said, ask the Lord to show you what is written in your book in heaven. I got that note, and it was like, how do I do that? What does that mean? Where do I start? And I began asking the Lord. All right, Lord, because when she said it, then I looked up some scriptures and it was like, oh yeah, it says right here that there's a book about me in heaven. And it says right here that he opened the book before he made a judgment. And it says right here, you know, I mean, there are a lot of scriptures about our books written in heaven. So I went on a mission to find out what that book was about. So what he's saying in here is that if we know what's written about us, when we go into the courts of heaven, it is much easier for a verdict to be rendered because we're agreeing with the Lord. He also says that if the enemy brings something against you, don't fight it. Just, hey, you know what? That's right. I did do that, and Jesus covered it with the blood of the Lamb. And so it's no more. Because when we fight it, then it gives permission. So if you go into the court and the enemy begins to say, yeah, but you exaggerate. you know what? I did. And Lord, thank you that I can accept your forgiveness. And I can allow you to cleanse me of that, and you can't use that against me now. So, Kathy.
Gail, is that the Rewriting the Past? Mm-hmm. It's on the website under Media, Sunday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Rewriting the Past is about the books written about you, and it's on the Firestorm website. It's firestormministriesnw.com. And you can get that message. There's a couple other things that I want to read to you out of here. There are voices that speak for us in the courts. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable, so they can't begin to be numbered, company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So this is Hebrews 12:22-24. Hebrews 12:22-24. In this scripture, God is revealed as the judge. Jesus is the mediator. The blood is speaking and testifying because everything here is part of the court system of heaven. The nine voices in the courts of heaven include the voice of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus releases testimony before the throne of God that allows the Lord the legal right to fulfill his passion. The second voice, the mediator of the new covenant. Mediators are officers of a legal system sent to resolve conflict. The spirit of just men made perfect. This speaks of those who are a part of the church who have died and are in heaven. They still have a viable and necessary function in the court system of heaven. And if you search this out, there are several scriptures that talk about the blood of the martyrs, talks about the cloud of witnesses. There's different scriptures that talk about the spirit of just men made perfect. The fourth voice is God. Yeah, the judge of all. Isn't it interesting that God is revealed not as a father or Lord in the scripture, but as judge? It is because the Holy Spirit desires us to recognize the legal position God holds as judge of all. And remember, this is a New Testament scripture where he's referring to himself as a judge. Oftentimes people go, oh, God's not into judging. Well, it's right there in Hebrews. The fifth voice is the church of the firstborn registered in heaven. So we, as the ecclesia, how many of you already understand the whole teaching about the ecclesia? Okay, so the ecclesia. God showed Dutch Sheets that the church is not just family. The word ecclesia is actually referring to ruling with a gavel. And it was speaking of a group... governmental position that we, the church, the ecclesia, we are to govern things. And we are to be making declarations. We are to be making statements as the church, as the people that make up the ecclesia. There's the side that's the family, and we've done really good with that over many, many generations with the church, but we haven't been good about the governing part. And so the church of the firstborn registered in heaven, We as the ecclesia have a tremendous place in the courts when we have been authorized and recognized. The sixth voice is the General Assembly. The word in the Greek is universal companionship, and it speaks of the multitudes worshiping the Lord about his throne. Their function of worship is essential to the operation of the courts. The seventh is the angels. There are varying ranks of angels that are part of the court of heaven's operations. Here again, James Gall has a complete series on all the different angels and what their jobs are that the scripture talks about. I mean, until you start studying these things, you go, yeah, I've noticed angels. What, you know, and I've noticed angels in the Word of God. But then you start finding out all the meanings of those words all around this angel and that angel. And so there's specific jobs God gave different angels and different beings. Then the eighth voice is the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is actually the wife of the Lamb, as mentioned in the book of Revelation. The wife or the bride of the Lamb's voice has a tremendous impact in the courts of heaven. So here's the part where we're the bride. We're not just the ruling part, we also the bride. So there's so many different dimensions we pray from. And it's important that we learn all these different dimensions so that we can function in them when we need to. There are times for each dimension, and we want to make sure that we're asking the Lord, where do you want me to pray from? The ninth voice is the voice of finance. Our giving of finances has great weight and authority when they come into agreement with heaven's desire and intent. And we all want our voice to be heard, and we are not saying legalism. That is not what I'm trying to say here. I'm saying there are legal actions in the courts of heaven that we want to make sure that we honor. Right. Yes, Michael. Yes. Could you come up here and say it, please, so that it'll be on the recording?
It's because there's a factor involved in this. It's because God has given us a free will.
Mm-hmm.
The free will makes the difference right there. Okay? Because we could either say yes or no. So that's one of the factors that I want to bring into this. Okay? And so that's why this, we have a process that we got to go through, because we do have a choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we choose not to, then we suffer the consequences. And if we choose to do so, then we must meet the requirements,
mm-hmm.
that the standard of God.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. So this might be out of order because I told you, I lost my notes, but I just want to read some things to you out of this book. Through repentance, we set in place the voice of the blood of Jesus and every other voice releasing testimony. When we sense accusations being used against us, we should simply agree with them. Matthew 5:25 says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hands you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. To agree with our adversary simply means that we are quick to repent of anything that the enemy tries to use against us in the courts. So, like the other day, we were headed into the courts. We all thought we had repented. Somebody said, I have unforgiveness. Yes, stop. You take care of it. You don't say, ah, no big deal. You make sure that you take care of it before you go in. Our words before the throne of God, and this is so important, you know, in Restoring the Foundation, we teach a lot about word curses. And we teach a lot about declarations, godly declarations. So our words before the throne of God are very powerful. in Hosea 14:1-2, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. The sacrifices of our lips in departing from iniquity and returning to the Lord give God the legal right to forgive us. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when people say to you, Jesus has covered all my sins, I don't have to do anything else. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't want you going away from this today going, oh no, here we go back to legalism. What am I doing wrong? Where am I screwing up? Oh, that I got to walk this very straight and narrow line. That is not what I'm saying. Get that out of your mind. This has nothing to do with walking like that. We walk in joy before the Lord. We walk just full of the Lord. But when we need a rendering of a specific situation when we're in prayer, when God has called us, I mean, Leviathan is a big thing, you guys. Leviathan attacks every marriage. I do not know a single marriage that does not have Leviathan twisting their words so that one person says this and the other person heard this. Okay? So when the Lord said, I want you to begin, he didn't tell us to pull it out. He said, I want you to begin to pull out Leviathan from the media. Hello? Do we have a twisting going on in the media? So you don't want to approach Leviathan with, hey, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I can pull that critter. I've got all authority. We do have all authority, and I say that a lot. We have all authority. But I'm going to make sure that I'm clean. I'm going to make sure that I've repented. I'm going to make sure that I've asked for cleansing. I am not going anywhere near any of the enemy's traps without first checking and confessing my sins. Our words set legal things in motion. Our words become testimony and agreement with the courts of heaven. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of their brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. So the word of our testimony, part of the word of our testimony is to confess and use words to grant God the legal right to be merciful to us. There's a scripture here that a lot of times we go to these conferences and somebody teaches on something and it's impossible to write every single thing down. But you know in your mind what the scripture is supposed to say, but you can never find it again to show somebody. And so this is one of those scriptures that when we went to a training at Kingdom League, it was like, somehow I wrote the scripture down, but when I went and looked at it, it was like, that doesn't say what I remember him saying it said. And it's because we don't understand the Hebrew. We don't understand all the implications, I guess that's the right word, of what some of these words mean. So, in Colossians 2:13-14, I'm going to try to do this justice. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Okay, so the wiped out the handwriting of requirements. The words handwriting of requirements actually means a legal document and or law, ordinance, or decree. In other words, positionally, Jesus dealt with every accusation or bit of paperwork that the accuser can use to resist us in the courts of heaven. It has been removed. This doesn't mean the devil will not try to use it. Okay? So he's going to try. He's the accuser. Now the part about the contrary. The word contrary in these verses means covertly. So contrary was not the right translation. Covertly. The sacrifice of Jesus deals with even the hidden things in our bloodline that are standing against us. Yeah. He brings them to light. When the spirit of revelation comes on, either in through a prayer, like if you are at a prayer meeting and you're praying these things and the Lord brings something through someone, hey, I don't see it at this moment, but I will pray against it. So, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yeah.
Nothing is resisting us legally, and now we can make decrees, which I already talked about. Once we get through these things, we're in the courts of heaven, we have the right to make decrees. Every decree that we made today was made from the position of the court of heaven. And those were legal decrees. Legal decrees. How many of you were here when Waverly Kellett, whom just passed away, how many of you were here to hear her teach on decrees? Several of you. Okay, so she was teaching us that decrees are made from a legal position. So when we have those decrees, whether we found them through praying in tongues, whether we found them by walking in our mind into the court, because when we're praying in tongues, we're going into the courts. I believe that with all my heart. I believe with all my heart that many times we are entering into the courts of heaven when we're doing tongues. You just watch how people act when they're interceding. You can see it. It's like, okay, yeah, you were confessing sin. Yeah, you were repenting for... Yeah, oh yeah, you're standing up now and you're letting it loose. So, to get the full effect of this understanding, we should look at our positions. You know, I'm not even going to go there. There's a whole nother thing about being priests and kings. So, I think we're going to have lunch at 12:30, right? So, right now I want to make sure that you guys understand. Are there questions? And Michael, if I don't know the answer... So, are there questions about what I've been saying, you guys? Really?
Well, this time.
Okay.
Got to have that wait time first.
Okay. Some of you look...
Me's coming out.
Some of you look like, when I was saying this stuff, you were going, Yes.
What was that scripture about the handwriting requirements?
Just a second. I took out my thingy figure.
Colossians 2:13-14.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I personally don't understand enough of what you're talking about to ask the question.
Yeah. Like I said, I am not, quote, recommending this book, but everything that I brought to you, he has a lot of scriptures on in here. Okay? So if you're trying to figure out, believe me, it took, how many years have I been doing prayer assignments? Six, seven, 8 years? Lots of reading, going over this, going, yeah, I'm not so sure about this. Then when we went to that justice class, so the first time I heard this, a lot of this, was when we were at Christian International, and I'm pretty sure that was 8 years ago. And then Kingdom League teaches a lot about this, and there's lots and lots of scriptures in here.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this particular person, Al Houghton, it's H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. He doesn't really teach on the courts of heaven, but he does have a lot of really good information on God as the judge, and he really believes that God is bringing his church into a position to execute judgment. But we're a long ways from that because of what needs to be done in us. So there are a lot of really good books. I really recommend him. He has a book called The Tender Mercies of David.
I don't remember the
something
name.
Like that. But he's an awesome guy. He has experienced he has some amazing testimonies where God has used him to execute judgment. And I'm going to share this one because I want us to realize where we're going. And how important it is that we have the love of God. How important it is to follow these steps of being clean. Because these spirits, they're out to kill us. Okay, they hate man. They hate God's people. And they're vengeful. They're wicked. They're beyond the wickedness we can really understand. I really believe that. It's wickedness. So we want to be where we need to be in Christ. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure we're clean. So I'm going to give you a testimony that he shared because it's pretty amazing what happened. So he was speaking at a conference in Texas. And when the conference was over, a woman came up with her daughter. And he said her daughter was probably about 18. When she came up, when the mom came up, she brought her daughter with her. The daughter's head was just down. She couldn't even look at him. And the mom said, "My daughter was raped, brutally raped by a young man in our area. This man has been arrested before for the same thing, and he keeps getting off." And she said, "I would like you to pray for God's justice in this situation." He said to her, "Do you have any sexual sin in your life?"
To the mother or to the daughter?
The mother.
The mother.
Because if you do, we cannot invoke God's justice because that's going to come on you. Mm-hmm. That same fire that we invoke right here for this young man is going to come on you. So you don't want to have any sexual sin in your life. And she said, "No, I do not." So what he prayed was he said, "Lord, if this young man will not turn, if he will not repent, take him out." That's how he prayed. So probably about 4 years, 3, 4, 5 years later, he was back in that same town speaking. And at the end of the meeting, this mother and daughter came forward. And the daughter was jubilant. It was this totally free, and God had really met her. And she came up to him and she said, "Do you remember me?" And he said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I'm going to tell you what happened." She said, "The next morning in the newspaper, they told the story that they found this young man dead in an alley. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about that God is going to bring his people to, because God wants to be the judge of the earth. And he wants his people to judge righteously. And we cannot judge righteously until we are full of his love and until we stand in the blood of Jesus with no unforgiveness, with no sin of any kind like that. So this is not a frivolous thing that we're going to do. And it's the same thing when you come up against territorial spirits like Leviathan. So I do believe God is bringing us as a people into a higher place to execute his will through prayer and declaration. But I certainly know that we want to be who he wants us
to
be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good work.
And the thing that when we went to that class, one of the things that Al wanted to see was justice against cancer.
Yeah.
And there has been many, many times that he has prayed and the cancer was stopped just like that. I know people can give testimonies of all kinds of different things. I know God heals because he heals. I know men who believe one thing and see lots of healings, and men who believe another way and see lots of healings. But I also know that when you've come into the courts of heaven and there is something about that rendering, that the enemy who is trying to eat away at people has been overcome. My desire is to see us ruling and reigning over the enemy who's inflicting disease. I mean,
yeah.
It has been breaking people's heart what Denise's sister has been going through. You know, this latest thing of her having the leg taken off, it hit some people really, really hard, because we know God doesn't desire that.
Right.
Now, Deborah, she's amazing. I mean, she just keeps growing through it. Whatever the enemy means for evil, God's using for good. But if we as a church would begin to reign and rule, I really believe we will see some overcoming of these things. Now, it was a lot that I just brought. It was a lot longer than any of the other things. Michael, did I bring forth the heart of it?
Yes, you did.
Okay. It's a difficult subject because there's like six things in that book that you have to search out. The whole thing about having books written in heaven about you. The whole thing about your bloodline. Now, that part was easy for me because I already have learned that in Restoring Foundations. The part about our ancestors, already learned that in Restoring Foundations, have become convinced because of the scriptures. But there is a lot to swallow. But we want to do a couple activations, and could somebody find out how long we have before lunch?
How long before lunch? 12:30.
Okay, so we have 15 minutes so to start. We're going to be doing some activations after lunch too, you guys, but because we still have one more dimension to go, and I do want to do some more activations. But the first activation I want to do, I want everybody to somehow get some paper and pencil, because I'm going to tell you some things that I did to figure out what was written on the scrolls about me. I found out, who am I? Do you know I am a book? I am a book that God has written on. So, that book in heaven, who am I? Who did he make me to be? That's part of my book in heaven. What have I done so far that I know was God? So, finding out the book of what is written about you in the book of heaven is finding out, who am I right now? how has God made me, put me together? Where am I at now spiritually? What things is God still asking me to do? Who am I? So how am I put together? How did God make me? My longings, my desires. So find out who I am. Remember when we did those tests almost a year ago to find out what our redemptive gifts were? That was part of the exploring of what was written about us in the books of heaven, was finding out what our redemptive gifts are, finding out how you're put together. I am sorry, Cricket, but I forgot the 4 points just suddenly. Did anybody get any of them? Where am I in the spirit right now? Oh, what have I done in the past that I know was God? And what are my longings and desires now? You guys, life is not really that complicated. God made us with gifts, with desires, with dreams, with who we are. So a lot of that is going to be encompassed in our book. Gail, did I miss something?
What things God's asking me to do.
What things God's asking me to do. And when I went before the Lord and started asking him these questions, and I know in 15 minutes you're not going to find out everything written about you in the book. Okay, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to begin to explore it. I'm asking you to just see if in the spirit you can look at that book and see anything that's written there. Can I see, Lord? Can you show me? So Jesus, right now, we just come before you and we're asking, can we see our book? Can we see our book? Can you tell us some of the things that are written there? Lord, we want to be everything that you made us to be. We want our lives. Most of us here still have a good 20 to 30 years of our life. We want to fulfill in that next 20 to 30 years. Yeah, we want to finish big. So Lord, everything that you've written in our book that we haven't accomplished, that you still want us to accomplish, can you show it to us?